got a TV in my office, and I quickly turned on Channel 4, and there was commentary by Paul Duke and Herb Capital. Paul Duke said that the president's presentation of his expectations from Congress was valid, that he ought to get what he said he ought to get. He was wise not to give him a big package, but to talk about welfare reform and revenue sharing. And then it all popped up and he got those. He said reorganization, he would not get with the possible exception of one of the four proposals he didn't specify, community development, as we saw. He said he thought the chances were less than 50-50, but that
Byron would get some of that stuff.
They didn't, Capo and Paul Duke didn't talk about that. Then I quickly turned to Channel 5 and they had Hugh Seide, Charlie Bartlett, had a young black woman whom I didn't recognize.
Sure.
No, news person. But I got just a little bit of Channel 5 and Hugh Seide said, emphasized the politics, excellent politics. Charlie Bartlett said, Bartlett was complimentary. He said the president is not running against the Democrats. He's running against the 60s, and we all have bad memories of the 60s. And he said it's a very sound and a very wise thing to do. And then Seide came in and said, well, you're not saying that the president is responsible for cooling the campuses and cooling the cities and so forth. And Bartlett said, well, the record is there. If it were otherwise, they'd be saying it's the president's fault. Then I turned quickly to Channel 9, to CBS.
You really love this.
Well, I got back just in time, and my secretary was watching the commentary, and she was making notes for me on the commentary, and I got back before the commentary was over. The commentary was good. They said that the language was not as stimulating. I think what somebody said is the State of the Union message a year ago when the president called for a great revolution, a new American revolution, and called and used that phrase that today's language was more moderate, more realistic, and probably much more effective.
You really, on Channel on CBS, rather gave us a hell of a
boost.
Early on, he said that it was very smart politics, that you had the inept Democratic leadership on the defensive, moderate, non-aggressive, bipartisan tone, which you scored huge points. He was very complimentary.
Yeah, he's Bill Lawrence.
Yeah, he does not say it.
You think it was his, in terms of, since it didn't have these strong
was the biggest applause line was the West Coast Ducks, right? And I got it.
Well, maybe that was bigger than...
He now went out and said that Boucher was a move of Congress senator, but you'd really scored on that one. And it may mean that the president will now send to the Congress some legislation to deal with this problem. We've had it there for 2 years.
Yeah.
I just...
That's why Hubert and Muskie, neither one of them even lifted a finger on the Doc's track. No, sir.
No.
Teddy, you've got him. Teddy's out there clapped at everything. He just, whenever he heard a patter of applause, he clapped it.
You scored so beautifully in that, because after it was in the CBS country, you know, when we saw it. So he three times came back to point out that you had lived that, and that therefore that was very much in your mind. And how you really scored, and how you really, and now the Congress on the defensive with it. And how responsive the public is on that issue.
We've got to be sure that what they prepared for my for tomorrow is good.
I'll have
a bunch of bland crap.
No, I'll have it by 3 o'clock and it will be, I've given the instructions. I'm sure it'll come good and stiff.
I haven't seen it yet, Chuck. Let me look at it.
It's not ready.
But I don't
think it's ready. The president went through some gimmick today now of like seeing Governor Moses or anything, is it?
Sure, I think we ought to figure a way to keep this one going every single day.
But you did.
Well, I did it today. Today, yeah.
I don't think it's going to have a governor. Governor, what's his name? McCall's here.
McCall?
Yeah.
And what's the question
of whether you ought to see him?
Is Evans here also?
No.
I wouldn't see McCall. If Evans and McCall...
It seems to me that it should never... You can't get two stories out of anything.
That's right.
You've got to make it fine today. Let it rock. Otherwise, it appears that you're just getting back. And tomorrow, we'll put up a damn good statement on the floor and it'll rain.
Well, we can also get the governors, the three governors of the West Coast. The
call should be made all over the country, and Reagan and others, and say they've been called and they're all for it and all that kind of thing.
Bill Clark said it was an outstanding speech. A challenge to Congress is well deserved, and one I hope will be accepted. The Democratic presidential hopefuls who would turn this session into a political rally are going to have to stretch a bit to find fault with the president's program. Scott said the Congress must meet the challenge to approve domestic programs offered by President Nixon a year ago. President Nixon has put it on the line to detail what must be done for all Americans. Mansfield said the property taxpayer usually is a forgotten person, but he would oppose a national sales tax as a relief measure.
Good.
Good. Good. Good. We should put them in a position where let them oppose. We haven't been for anything.
No, you
just said we're going to do something.
All you did today was to take...
Oh, we shut it out there so that they can't be for something.
Yeah, but you own that issue. That's yours.
Yes, Capo's commentary on that was to the effect that your reference to the McElroy Commission and the Advisory Commission, ACIR, and the fact that they'll be submitting their reports indicates that you have shown that you're concerned about this issue. You're going to be presenting it. Proposals at a time too late for the Congress to act, but it will be very apparent to the country that you've taken the initiative to deal with the problem.
Muskie gets a little alarmed by that whole thing. I mean, he got kind of puzzled and he turned over something to Hubert about it. He didn't exactly understand what you were getting at, I don't think.
Or
he didn't understand what he was going to do about it.
Well, he may go off stuff because he's a
member of the committee.
I know. He may have been asking Hubert if he was a member. I don't know.
Well, he hasn't attended a meeting in a year.
No.
Muskie has not attended a meeting of the Advisory Committee on intergovernmental relations for more than a year.
He's got a pretty good line. Let us have our debates, let us have our honest differences, but let us join in keeping the national interest first, said Nixon. And applause filled the House chamber, crowded with members of Congress, the cabinet, the entire high command of the government.
We got it. I thought it was a very, very, very good one. It does not make any news and so forth. But there was a great deal of lifting in this speech in the last.
Great contrast in what you had to say at the conclusion and what Teddy Kennedy said Monday night at the press club. And he must have been aware
of the country and what we have to do.
Well, it was a phrase about this being a good country. That was a great tone set. That's
used that a number of times, but it was good to use it here.
Well,
it fit you. Both Kennedy and Muskie, and I'm particularly Kennedy and Muskie, are saying everything the country's in hell of a shape.
Yeah, but even it has a different connotation also than great or number one. Or,
that's right.
It has the quality.
Big, strong, but we're good.
Good. And that's it. It's a good feeling. And you registered it beautifully. Of course, you had another note that I thought was tremendously important, and that is that the thing which may be otherwise so much of the public attitude towards government politicians, you talked about people having confidence in the ability of government.
Yeah.
You laid it right out and said, they're all in this room, they're all on track. We're all here, we're ahead. If we can do it, by the other people aren't going to trust the track. That brought them right ahead, brought them into the boat. Done very well, extremely well.
Right, Patton said it's difficult to take the two State of the Union address seriously. Discounts Nixon's forecast of a new prosperity without war, and said it's obvious President Nixon would
want it.
Right, Patton.
Oh, of course.
President Nixon will leave office with an all-time record for misleading forecasts.
I think we might shake him up tomorrow, don't you?
Yeah. Jerry Ford.
Gross national product.
Said it was the most challenging such speech ever made to a joint session of the Congress.
Oh, sure.
And appeal that the Congress link arms with him to build a better America despite the political pressures of a presidential election year.
Our boys are really doing very well on their move, as you said, it's quite good. Sure. What do you find?
Excellent.
I said quite good. I thought it was very good.
Excellent, Mr. President. We
Margaret Smith, the George A. We're there. I watched him.
Margaret looked pretty good. She got down the aisle without the cane.
That's right. Looked pretty good.
She
looked good while she's running.
Yeah.
She's over 70. Hell of a man. She'll win.
He can kind of dot her down, but Margaret charged right in.
I must say that she's, they seem to be really upbeat. Hugh was very proud of the fact he kicked him in the balls.
And Mr. President, Hugh has,
he's great.
Yeah. Hugh has been sending me commentaries from the Pennsylvania papers. He underlines that Senator Scott is delighted that observers have noted his greater leadership capacities for support of the president. And there's a piece he sent me, three of them, in which he said that he looks forward with great enthusiasm to carrying Pennsylvania for the president this year. But Scott has been speaking not only with pride about his legislative work, but in anticipation of his political work.
Mm-hmm.
And he put himself. And, of course, the mood is very good, Mr. President. We had breakfast, Bill Timmons and I had breakfast here yesterday morning in the conference dining room with Scott and Ford and Griffin and Les Aarons. And then they came back to my office, sat around the table, and looked at the draft of the written version of State of the Union. They made some recommendations. Ray incorporated some of them. And so they felt really a part of it. And their mood is excellent. They're anxious to help them to do battle with the other side.
Sure, they're about ready to start out on a recess.
Well, that's good. Very hard to get a Congress like this.
Well, I think if you had gone up with a very lofty speech about all the things you wanted to accomplish and all the initiatives, they just creeped us. I think it was beautifully done.
Well, you were complimentary to them, too.
But all the things split.
Yeah. Bud,
yeah.
Bud was the one guy who caught it. He said what the president says. And he does it so often, so skillfully. He set up an obstacle course and showed how brilliant he is in getting through it. But this was a very clever ploy.
About not not saying we're...
Well, that is not saying because we aren't...
That we are evil because
yeah.
we're not perfect. We are yeah. corrupt because we are not pure. After all that we have done to build America, those who are not because of those who are not done, That's a very inspirational.
Well, it's inspiration. It's very positive, but it's a hell of a good kick at the other people at the same time.
That's right.
We go around and moan and say these things, but we're all not in shape.
Of course, when we're out, we say it's not in shape. But it wasn't out of shape. It is better. You know, isn't it something, though, they say the country is cooler, but we can't take any credit. But you're right, if it weren't clear, it's like Vietnam. So we have only two kills, and they say, we can't take any credit. Well, what the hell do they know? 500,000 are going to be home by May 1st. What would they have done? Maybe we still did. Maybe we would have found them.
Bob indicated that Congress would be taking a recess pretty soon. You'd be interested in Bob Griffin's comment
yeah.
as he concluded reading the 110 pages, quadruple or triple spaced of the written version of the State of the Union. Bob said, boy, he says there's a lot of good Lincoln Day speech material in here. And that's right, you're going to give
it.
These
guys just hit it up in the State of the Union, too. If these guys will take this, and you know, they can take the State of the Union, then most people won't have heard it. Most of it just take it. Frankly, use it as a basic speech.
They will.
They can say, as President Nixon said, sure. It's memorable speech.
Yeah.
You can also at least a page or two about it.
You know, say something about God looking for the
earth.
People like to be told things aren't all that bad. We are doing better. I was very surprised at the strong national defense line. We got as good a response. Strong response from that was the Republicans. It looked good to the
most of our Irish friend, yeah, and killing me.
John Simmons.
Well, it has to be. But at least we. Yeah, it isn't enough for extra. It's enough for Goldwater.
Jack Brennan said he's from where he stood. He was watching Fulbright through the speech. He had planned to watch Muskie. He had planned to watch Muskie and Humphrey because he thought that would be interesting. But they were so deadpan, it was very dull to watch them. So he watched Fulbright. He said, all through the speech, Fulbright sat there with just hatred, just pouring out of his eyes at the president, saying, son of a bitch.
Was he doing that?
Apparently. That's what Jack said. I swear to God, he was. And he was just venom in there. And, you know, didn't applaud once on any line that you do. Never.
Well,
and just hated every single...
No, he is John Cooper.
John has walked out of meetings of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations the last 4 months because he said, I don't have to be exposed to that bitterness. Embittered.
Very bitter.
Mr. President, here's what you're going to hear in your State of the Union message. People should get what they work for and, where able, work for what they get. Now, that's the line that you use. And I don't have it exactly right, but
that's
you're going to hear.
Where they can, they should work for what they get.
In more Lincoln Day speeches, you're going to hear that one.
That's right. That's great. It's called a great cheerleader.
Sure,
and it's great for Reagan.
Did we misread it that you kind of downplayed family assistance?
No. I said all the right things.
My phone was jumping off the hook with that. I don't know if you can. All the conservatives said, hey, that's great.
Well, they're all so glad that, no. I said, we will, our welfare reform, we'll help those that do well, especially those that are not. In addition to that, it's all in there. I know what's going to happen. We aren't going to get it all. We're going to get, as you know,
a trial program.
But that's good. I'd like to try a trial program. Let's find out. We got it all in there.
And the conservatives will not find that so unpalatable. They'll say we're fearful that this will lead to a full-fledged program, but they'll be pleased that it's less than that.
No, their big pitch is that if we get it, they want a trial program, so they convince us we'll fail.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got Clark to your team now for your program. I think the thing is to play for a few months. I don't know how long it's going to be, for about
horrified and keep coming back into the business. They are instructions. They are partisan. They are putting the party version of country second. The party version of country second. Attack them over and over again. You know what I mean? But play the line that we expect them to be conciliatory. We expect them to be helpful. We expect them to be bipartisan. We're going to assume that we're working that. Set it up so that in about the 1st of June, we can then turn up and say, all right, and there are all these months. I would put a tougher guy, well, two or three tough guys, who would start keeping track of how long they're there and how long they're gone, and then say, we have been here, you should get up every day in the floor of the House, and one should get up every day in the floor of the Senate, at the opening, and his 1 minute remarks say, we have now been here, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. President, this Congress has been in session, but the record shows that we have not passed one of the 90 proposals the President has laid before us. We have been here 90 days. We have now been here 6 days. We have not waited a week before. We have been here 7 days. We have been here 8 days. You know, we have been here this week. And we have been out. We have been here 9 days. Eventually, it will catch on. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. Build up a little gimmick there. Don't you? Does that strike you?
Absolutely. No, it's a very good idea.
And that gets every day. He gets up and keeps making the same speech. We've been here this many days. We haven't passed one. And then sits down. You can do it easily in the House with a 1 minute rule. In the Senate, it's probably easy. Will the Senator yield? I guess you should have heard what he said. Right about every day.
They have their morning hour.
Yeah. Every other day. Yeah, they have a morning hour. Don't they?
It's limited to 15 minutes now. They ask you.
Get up and have one guy every day, and no more than one, who will get himself known. Pick some guy who says, I will know that they have been here. The President has 90 proposals. We have not taken action. We've been here this Congress has been in session. This Congress has been in session for so many days. I think you can kill them. And then, about the 1st of June, you start building it up. And then, you see what we may end up in is running against the Congress. We'll poll it first to see whether the Congress is considered to be bad or good. If it's considered to be bad, kick the lid on the juice out.
Pretty safe on that.
Well, you're not sure. The Congress
can surprise you. They can surprise you.
No, it's pretty hard for them to come out being good in polls.
Well, that's true.
The institution, they're bad.
But I think we also would have to balance it against what you said that if they responded.
No. If they respond, we have a different game. Yep. Then we brag about the fact that we got some things through the Democratic Congress. And we're going to work for that. That should be our line. I think the line should be that we haven't proposed, you know, that line where I said I have not made any new proposals in the traditional way of laying things that I know you can't pass. But I have, this is within the ability of Congress to enact, and the ability of the budget to finance, and it's bipartisan in the interest of the nation. Now get off your asses and do it.
Your suggestion, Mr. President, for a timetable for conciliation and a point of confrontation is perhaps a little more generous than mine.
You start with
Well, we'll have to see what happens, but I think June is giving them ample time. It may come a little sooner.
I think it probably would come a little sooner. June is a month before the convention.
But let's see what they...
Wait until he's back from Russia.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Well,
wait,
sure.
Wait until after the Russian trip. The moment you get back, then just wheel it and kick the brains off.
Well, we will... We'll have a number of candidates, and I'll have to select, I think, in advance, the best candidate in the House and the best candidate in the Senate to do this job. But this is a very good one, and that's the sort of
thing.
Oh, sure.
Divine
would be
fine. Divine doesn't believe in a lot of quotes.
And Divine doesn't have as much sense of humor as perhaps somebody else. We'd like to. It'd be fun to get, you know, the thing that was good about Bob Dole was a sense of humor that he always put into this thing.
The presidential
letter. Yeah.
Let's do this every day and have it start. Now we've been in 2 days, we've been in 3 days. I mean, I don't expect it to. I can wait a week. So we've been in a week, we've been in 7 days. It sounds better rather than a week. We've been in 7 days. This Congress has been in session for 7 days. And even though they need to go out, we've been in session for 7 days. We've been in session for 14 days. This Congress has been in session for 21 days. This has 22 days have now passed with no action. 23 days have now passed with no action. 24 days, not better than no action. You watch, it will drive them off the wall of action. They'll become extremely sensitive to it. They'll want to get something the hell out there.
They'll have to defend themselves.
Yeah.
They stare at them. expensive. I think he'd run into a hole.
In fact, you might even start it in here.
Within a week. Wait a week, so I waited a week. And what the hell, I've given you a week here, not more. You've been here 7 days.
The thing we want to get our troops on now is when that legislation goes up tomorrow on the decks, sir, just hit them every day, because they're not going to want to act on it. The kind of legislation we're giving, they're going to want to hold hearings and get them to...
That's not striking.
Start that next year, go on that prime time television. because you've laid the separation of a written message and a spoken message. Now you can make the point that, you know, your spoken message you delivered to the people.
Of course, you know,
the written message you sent to the Congress.
My state of the union, our joint session, is a grand occasion. It does have people like it as an event.
Sure.
It's a hell of an event. But look back there.
But there's only, what, 1,000 people there or something?
I know.
Secret talk.